FM, Eye on Terrorism, exclusively on Chai FM.
David Harris, a very good morning to you, Shavua Tov and Chodesh Tov. How are you doing?
A jolly good morning to you, and yes, a very good, happy month and week to everybody. All good here.
Excellent, thank you. The Syrian situation is, from the perspective that I seem to be looking at it, is very perplexing, because the way in which the visuals are strange. We've got Donald Trump taking more than a week, or nearly a week, to make up his mind. He is going to bomb. He's not going to bomb. He's making up his mind any time. Eventually, he announces he's going to do it. He gives everybody enough time to basically polish the floors even before he bombs. He then bombs and he says, mission accomplished. My sense is, and then Russia says, well, if it happens again, then there's going to be chaos in the area. My feeling, or my impression, is that this was magnificently orchestrated. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think you're absolutely right. I think part of it, although obviously the Department of Defense has targets in a drawer somewhere all of the time, but I think part of the delay might have been that they wanted to be absolutely sure that they were hitting the right type of target. But also, and in the same way, I guess, that the Israelis do, I'm sure messages were sent across to make sure that civilians and indeed fighters were out of the way when the chemical base was hit. There was, of course, the question, and I haven't seen any satellite footage one way or the other, whether that gave time for Iranian trucks, Syrian trucks, or Russian trucks to move any hazardous material, shall we say, away from the places that were being targeted by the Americans.
Absolutely, absolutely incredible. What do you think happens next?
Well, let me take you back a few months. I appeared on this program talking about Donald Trump and his Jerusalem announcement. Yeah. The idea of moving the capital across to Jerusalem from, moving the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and thus giving recognition to Jerusalem as Israel's capital. And I said, I think it's a terrible move, not because the move shouldn't happen, but just because of the timing. Mm. And I was predicting that there would be attacks against Jews in various places. And I also said, more significantly, that I thought there would be a lot of problems in the Muslim world with, you know, people in Indonesia and Malaysia and so on taking to the streets, and riot police being deployed to fight against them, tear gas and then death. And that didn't happen. And I think the same thing has happened here again. We're expecting some sort of gut reaction from, in this case, the enemies of the United States. And again, Donald Trump has proved it didn't take place. The Russians had threatened to shoot any missiles down. That didn't happen, as you're suggesting. It was an orchestrated dance. But what I think this is showing is that the Americans are still very much the main player. They have the upper hand. They are the dominant superpower in the Middle East. And other countries fear them and tend not to lift a finger. And that, to some extent, what happened with Jerusalem and what's happened now with Syria gives Donald Trump carte blanche, should he desire, to act in other directions. And I would include in that the possibility of North Korea.
So really what he's doing is he's actually strengthening himself. He's strengthening America every time he does something like this, and there's very little pushback. Is that what you're saying?
Well, absolutely, spot on, great summary. And of course, that flies in the face, to a large extent, to what he was elected to do. The people who voted for him, and I can tell you from the emails that we get from Republican voters, and I'm not talking one or two, I mean hundreds, they have a real problem with American intervention overseas. We conducted a poll last week, a poll of our subscribers, and the overwhelming majority, 70-odd percent, said they did not favor any form of strike against Syria. They do not believe, Americans who voted for Trump do not believe that it is America's role to be the policeman of the world. They believe other nations should be doing that, and that's probably part of the reason why Trump lauded so much the involvement of the French and the Brits in all of this, to show that others do care, that others are acting, because his people would much rather that money that goes on foreign aid, that goes to to building a military fighting force overseas go to other things.
Well, it is interesting because a lot of comments that I saw, again, also from supporters of Trump and Republicans, are saying, will this make American lives safer? And of course, the answer is most likely not. It's not the Americans who are suffering through this. So ultimately, it could have a knock-on effect, and it can affect American lives at some point. But the reality is, it's very much at this stage a Middle Eastern problem. So how does America balance that concern amongst Americans, which is absolutely valid, with the fact that, well, somebody needs to step up and help the hundreds of thousands, millions, in fact, people who have been affected already by the Syrian crisis that just doesn't seem to be ending?
So I think you brought up, sort of, if you forgive me, almost too many points in one comment for one single answer. With regard to the Syrian people, clearly much more has to be done. The UN is doing its little best. There are non-governmental organizations, including, interestingly, Israeli organizations operating in Iraq and some in Syria, that are trying to do whatever they can to help these people. But clearly not enough is being done. There is never enough aid available. And as usual, at this point, I'll throw out the word Yemen. You know, absolutely nothing is being done there. And look at Somalia and all the other places that have these types of problems and struggles with radical Islamism. With regard to how this impacts on the Americans and so on, clearly, directly, the fact that America took out some infrastructure in Syria on its own doesn't affect anything. But let me remind you and the listeners, according to the FBI, there are ongoing investigations right now in all 50 states in the United States with regard to Islamist terrorism. It takes the comments and the actions of people in the Middle East, and indeed their messages directly to their operatives in the West, for them to carry out attacks. Now, there are two ways of looking at what just happened and its knock-on effects on European terror cells, on American terror cells. One, you could argue that they will see this as being a dent, that they will see this as being yet another blow, and the Americans are very serious about this, and maybe we should stay lower key for the time being. The alternative, which is perhaps the more likely scenario, is that when the Islamist extremists see a country like America, the infidel America, flexing its muscles so far from home, they think, okay, the time has come for us to hit America in the homeland, or at least to attack American interests overseas. Mm. Now, we haven't seen that, at least not reportedly so, over the last week, but that could possibly be a consequence. And I'd be much more concerned about that if I were Donald Trump than about any comments being made by Vladimir Putin, who has proved himself yet again to be a bunch of hot air.
So what do we yet know what the American approval ratings are on this attack on Syria?
I have not seen anything. Look, I think once Trump turns around and says we've been successful, all of our service people who carried out these attacks are home properly, this did not cost us a fortune, then that will give him more approval. Obviously, had something gone terribly wrong, then there would have been a real reaction to this. But I think it's fair to say that both the Democrats and the Republicans overall are against American action overseas. If you think back to Vietnam and so on, the opposition came from the left. Today, the opposition comes from the right. And I think that is one of the few things that actually the two sides these days, given the great divide between left and right, that they actually have in common. However, none of the voters sit in the Oval Office. None of them have conversations with the Pentagon, with the heads of the CIA, the FBI, and so on a regular basis. And those are the people who actually know what's going on. And Trump has been sensible, in my opinion, in listening to the advice from those types of people so far in his 1+ years in office.
And again, going back to his tweet, which I think is so indicative, listening to what you're saying, maybe it wasn't just a message to Putin, but also to the American public when he said mission accomplished. That message says, I'm not doing anything more at this stage. Perhaps it was to placate his own government, his own people, as well as Putin.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very accurate. Every single tweet, every single sentence said by any savvy politician is only aimed really in one direction, and that's at their own people, because they're seeking re-election, they're seeking, as you mentioned before, approval ratings, believe me, he doesn't need to tweet to get Putin's attention. He does that through the hotline to Moscow.
Absolutely right, and in fact, we do know that Russia doesn't like Twitter diplomacy. They have mentioned that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, very, very interesting indeed. Do you anticipate a quiet week in Syria this week?
No, not for the people of Syria, absolutely not. It might not be that the Russians do anything drastic, it might not be that the Americans do, but the people of Syria will continue to suffer. There is still intense fighting within the country between the different factions. And at some point, if you want to do a quiz of your listeners, just look up online the names of all of the different organizations fighting right now in Syria, and ask them which side they're on, if there is a side, because there isn't a side in Syria right now. Nobody knows who they're fighting for, why they're fighting. They're just fighting because that's what testosterone-filled men do. It's just an absolute tragedy.
It is a tragedy. And, of course, the people that suffer are the civilians, are the children, the women and men who don't. All they want to do is live a normal and peaceful life. This David Harris from the Clarion Project. Thank you, as always, for your insights and for your wisdom. Have a fantastic week, and we'll catch you next week.